Dear followers, thanks to be here again on emspedia.com. In occasion of the Emergency Services Show 2018 on 19th and 20th September in Birmingham, we contacted Rog Byrne, Fibio as instructor, bikers training, in order to speak about the role of motorcyclists in case of accidents. Not many of them knows that why is what is the difference they can make in this situation. So, good morning, Rog, and thank you for your time with us.
Yeah, good morning, Laura. Hi. So, setting the background to what I can do, I'm an emergency care practitioner and founder of an organisation called www.bikerstraining.com. My colleague and myself are providers of first bike on scene emergency response skills for the motorcycle community in Ireland and some UK programmes. We set ourselves up in 2011, paramedic colleague Nick and Bernadette, the first bike and scene administrator, to provide this course across Ireland.
Oh yes, very well then. So you have a wide experience both in motorcycling while you are a biker and in pre-hospital care while you worked in hospitals and in particular during your military career providing acute resuscitation and trauma skills, isn't it?
That's correct.
And you will participate as a speaker at the ESS 2018 and you will talk about emergency response skills for motorcyclists. So on which points your speech will be focused on?
Okay, so First Bike on Scene is a one-day training program initially put together by the North West Ambulance Services of the UK. And the initiative was to enable the motorcycle community to be capable and competent at the scene of a road traffic collision involving a motorcyclist. Initially established in 2008 and has since which time undergone regular innovations in keeping up with the changes required for professional protocols within emergency service care and maintaining those standards. Now managed by the FBOS UK Limited, which is based in Wales, with association training locations in 6 ambulance services across the UK and 1 across Ireland. The idea was to provide for the motorcycle enthusiast to have the skills to know what to do at a road traffic collision. Motorcycling enthusiasts come from a wide range of society in age, gender and purposes for using their bike. And many use small size CC powered two-wheelers, as the Europeans would refer to them, for daily commute. Many countries would use smaller CC motor vehicles for that purpose, whilst others prefer larger bikes that are capable of much greater distances for leisure or holidays. And in particular, in Britain and Ireland, I can speak of, hobbies would be using their motorcycle to buy a day on a racetrack for riding experiences. Across the European Union, then, powered two-wheelers are often considered dangerous and riders are highly vulnerable road users. However, we just to the statistics so readily available from many studies, such as the MAIDS study across Europe, powered two-wheeler riders is often the victim of a poor driver's perception. This type of road traffic accident or collision, referred to as the T-bone impact, is where the car driver enters the road from either the right or left-hand side of the bike approaching them, with the claim they didn't see the biker, as the bike then results with an impact into the driver's door, resulting in, at worst, killed or seriously injured motorcyclists. Sadly, a number of KSIs killed and seriously injured will be a result of excessive speed, as the power-to-weight ratio of powered two-wheelers can often be a contributor to the road traffic collision.
Yes.
So with the above data in mind of those research locations, particularly those in Ireland and those in the UK, Road Safety Association, Road Safety Society here, and the Road Traffic Research Laboratory in the UK, with our awareness of motorcyclists, we combined our emergency care background and set about establishing www.bikerstraining.com initiative. My colleague Nick and I founded the agenda on an all-Ireland process functioning in the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland as one landmass, but often two jurisdictions. We share safety working partnerships and relationships with the Police Service Northern Ireland and go on to work with other safety agencies. Other FBOS sites in the UK also have these connections with police services.
Yes, and in case of road accidents, so what are the emergency response skills a motorcyclist should have? I mean, how can a motorcyclist manage an emergency scenarios in case he face it?
Okay, so the key skills that were identified in the initiation when they put the program together has subsequently gone further expansion. So the current situation in terms of the skills learned on the day will be a safe approach and management of the accident scene to make sure the rescuer is safe in the first instance, and then use a head-to-toe assessment formula in which clearly the motorcyclist will be on the floor, on the ground after the road traffic collision with a significant and continuous, some would say 20% risk of airway management failure. So a concern about having to manage the airway with the helmet still on and the person in a fixed safe position whilst you do a continuous assessment of the injuries that the individual may have sustained, some of which will be very obvious and some of which will be more internal.
Yeah.
Management of head and neck injuries clearly is very significant and tends to be the one that most people think of as motorcyclists possibly having and needing to be ruled out until they arrive at hospital or a definitive care centre when they can do the x-rays or the scanning procedures. At the scene then, very commonly, controlling of bleeding that you can see or including recognition of bleeding that might be taking place internally without sophisticated materials to judge that gives us a chance to give the biker community a useful acronym called Alert Verbal Pain and Unresponsive, known as the AVPU protocol. That will give them some clues as to how that person is deteriorating from the time they arrive to the time that they're then taken away by advanced medical care. In the process of the program, many motorcyclists would be insecure prior to training of removing a helmet from person on the floor. However, within this training, we will teach that person the exact same standard operational procedure, SOP, in terms of removing a helmet from an individual in specific circumstances defined within their training, so as they're not instantly presuming that all helmets should be removed. They're very specific occurrences as to when they will and will not do that. We'd add to that then the idea of a maneuver called the log roll, and familiarisation with short and long spinal boards, and of course modern innovation in the last 3 years across the European Union, the use of vacuum mattresses to fix the person in position. Lastly, towards the end of the programme then, the people will then start to assemble all these things together to understand what they need to do in terms of trauma and management. But sadly, there will be a number of occasions when the most important and only action that those two people on the scene or more people can carry out will be cardiopulmonary resuscitation, because the person will be unconscious and unresponsive at the scene, even with the airway cleared. For that reason, in Ireland, we add to this programme, the First Bike on the Scene Emergency Response Skills Programme, the Irish Heart Foundation Adult CPR and Automated External Defibrillation Certification, so that persons will have those competencies also, but not necessarily thought of using the defibrillator in this trauma event.
Very interesting, Roger. And in particular, in cases of suspected trauma, what could a motorcyclist do in case of head-neck injury risk, of course, because as you mentioned in the list of skills, there is this concrete risk, so to provoke further injuries to the injured person that you rescue.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we focus on the biker's knowledge of knowing what happens when you put a helmet on your head and increase in your riding and the risk calculation. This enables the learner or the course participant to share and ask questions about, well, when should we take a helmet off and when shouldn't we? So we reiterate to the group of individuals that following a brief overview of the causes of trauma and thinking about the head and neck particularly and the risk that involves with the helmet movement and the speed of the impact, we would ask those groups of members to watch, see and do specific techniques for assessment of whether the person can breathe in the helmet or not, further assessment of if they couldn't breathe in the helmet, a decision to then work with another individual for the two-person helmet removal, and at that point they would have watched it, seen it and done it quite a few times. We would then ask the groups to assemble into groups of four or five, and then each of those individuals work with four different heads on four different occasions, removing four different helmets, all of which are traditionally the full-faced helmet, since the open-face helmet does give us other choices to manage the airway in different methods, But generally, our observation from our emergency care background tell us that if there's an open face helmet on, there's likely to be open face injuries to the nose, the teeth, the tongue and the jaw. And that will, in fact, complicate the ability to ventilate that person's own airway and manage the jaw maneuvers that would be necessary to keep the airway open. So we focus quite strongly on the airway management and at the same time consider the phenomena of C spine injury risk. Now, the course doesn't provide collars, but we do show the courses what a collar looks like for stiff neck. But we leave that action to the emergency services when they arrive. But the initial action up to that would be traditionally holding the head in the fixed and careful position in a position known as C-spine control with the jaw thrust in position so the airway is maintained.
Yeah, clear. And another question, what kind of support motorcyclists with emergency response skills can give to professionals who arrive on site?
I guess traditionally, if you stand at the side of the road and you're not from the emergency medical care background and you see an ambulance go flying by, you tend to think of so many things that they're going to do in what is relatively a mobile intensive care unit as being quite mystical. However, we try to dispel some of those myths to say that the EMS work is not always solely provided by highly proficient trained professionals, but that many life-threatening events that the motorcyclist may be affected by following a road traffic collision can be simply managed. Now, the event might be quite serious, but they can be simply managed through simple, insightful actions which will give superb outcomes. So, for instance, in the assessment protocol, the candidates on the course would have learned the head-to-toe assessment approach and some acronyms to help those remember the sorts of skills and actions they need to carry out would be related to AVPU, as we said earlier, or frequently referred to in our area of practice, colour, sensitivity and movement. So in that sense, we can then assess for somebody's further development and further risks prior to the helmet removal and after the helmet removal and ongoing reassessment in a circular system of working from airway management, breathing management, cardiac management, blood loss management, back to consciousness, keep moving around that circle so those individuals have a grasp of what they're looking for cyclically whilst they await the arrival of advanced help. So often a motorcyclist involved in a road traffic collision can range from less life-threatening soft tissue injuries to catastrophic killed or seriously injured events. And inevitably, the event will require multiple players acting out their roles in support of each other. So we enable the bikers to act as a first on scene and all the risks that go with that. They need to think about the risks to themselves and the risk to others, followed by supporting others once the EMS arrive. Hence, their readiness to act is a critical part of what they do, as so many techniques in modern EMS events require more than just one. They may require as many as four or five practitioners. So we'll encourage the first bike on scene emergency response skills provider, FBOS ERS, to offer their competence if they feel so motivated, bearing in mind that some do still feel that they are bystanders and don't think they can offer, even though they've had one day fairly full training. Most of our evaluations will tell us, without exception, 99% of those that we train think they were much more equipped and much more able to deal with the situation after the course than they would have felt before. In the 7 years of doing this program, we've only had one evaluation that said, having done all my skills, I still don't think I'd be able to do it. So we invited that individual to come back and do another day on another occasion. But that individual didn't return.
Yeah, sure. And the very last question, Roger, according to a psychological level, what are the tips a motorcyclist must bear in mind to provide the correct response?
So we would encourage them, first and foremost, they come on the course because they're motivated to be connected to help the other bikers in the community. Remarkably, people they've never met or don't know, but just the mere fact they're all on the same, they're all on powered two-wheelers and realise their own vulnerability. So we'd encourage the first bike emergency response service provider to apply the skills and competence they learn, but many of them secretly hope they don't have to use it, which is a good place to start from, to the trauma or the road traffic collision event that they arrive at. They use the skills and the drills we have practiced and ideally, with other confident people, lead the event until EMS arrive. road traffic collision events are destabilizing, so it is of significant importance to be able to carry out post-event critical stress review. So both Nick, my colleague paramedic, Bernie, Bernadette, the administrator of the organization, and I conclude all our FBOS programs with, if you do attend a road traffic collision and you use your FBOS skills, talk about it, and feel free to contact us to gain some further supports. It's really important you talk about it. In the 7 years we've been actively promoting the program, we have personally trained 1,000 motorcyclists and a number of motorists in that too. We have communicated on 45 occasions where a first bike on scene provider who had attended a road traffic collision and provided some amazing actions with superb outcomes. Without exception, all of those providers concluding they did not have to be helpless and suffer the effects of that after the course, and contributed what they know they were capable and competent to provide to make a difference to another biker. We tend to find our motto served us well, of bikers training bikers to save bikers' lives.
Thank you very much, Rog. These were awesome tips and suggestions. So thank you very much for your anticipations and for your time with us. And I hope you will enjoy the emergency services show.
Sure. So we're really looking forward to adding our voice and our story to the experience of the EMS community at the ESS 2018. We've been for the last 4 or 5 years, and last year made a comment about there's nothing much about motorcyclists. And so we were invited to present the findings from the organization that we've provided the services from and to that population of motorcyclists. So thanks very much for having my voice too.
Very much appreciated, Roger. Thank you very much. So this was Rog from Ireland, and as we already said, you will find him on 19th September at the Lessons Learned Theatre from 25 past 1 to 5 to 2 p.m. So keep on following emspedia.com for further issues and updates on the ESS 2018. Thanks for following.